Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Apostolic and Prophetic Voices. This is Let's Talk About It. This is a talk show designed to equip, educate, and empower people from all walks of life with the message of the kingdom of God and relationships in particular. I am your co-host tonight, Pastor Shante Charles, and I am excited about the word of the Lord tonight. I'm excited for what God is going to do in this show on tonight. We're going to be talking about being single, being saved, and being satisfied. And we have with us on the line tonight two very powerful young women of God, Sister Amberly Eaton, as well as Sister Antonice Eaton. They are sisters by blood. And we're just so fortunate that they were able to join us tonight to be able to minister and come in their own way. They are messengers for the kingdom of God. They serve, I know, in their actively in their ministry in North Carolina under the leadership of their father. And we just thank God for them taking the time tonight to be able to come and minister the word of God, minister the word of truth to the singles in regards to being saved, being single, and being satisfied. Welcome to the show tonight, ladies.
Thank you so much, Pastor Shante. Thank you so much. We are so excited to be here with you and to be able to talk about being single, saved, and satisfied, which we are.
Amen. And we're going to go ahead and open up in our prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to the young ladies on tonight. So, Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, Father. We thank you for the word that you have in the mouths of Amberly and Antonice on tonight, Father. We're asking that you bring your word through them with strength, with power, and with glory. Father, I thank you that each and every single that will be on this line tonight, Father, that they will be encouraged, that they will be uplifted, that they will be strengthened in their walk in you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I do want to let those of you who are new to the show tonight that we do have a Facebook group. We have two. One is Let's Talk About It. You can find that online and request to join. Or Apostolic and Prophetic Voices, where we invite leaders from the fivefold ministry to come on and speak about what God is doing right now in this time, in this season. So you are more than welcome to join those Facebook groups tonight. We will actually be taking notes in the group tonight as this message is happening live. So we just thank you all for joining in. And at this time, I'm going to go silent so the Lord can be heard. Ladies, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Pastor Shante. God bless all the callers, everyone that's on the line. We're excited. I'm going to get started with sharing just a few scriptures that a lot of our content will be based on tonight. The first is Matthew 6:33, a very, very familiar passage. And I'm going to read everything from King James Version tonight. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. The second passage is Psalm 37:4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." That was Psalm 37:4. Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." That was Proverbs 3:5-6. We are going to talk tonight, as Pastor Shante has already said, about being single, saved, and satisfied. And we are coming from a biblical perspective, obviously. And it's so important that no matter what your status is, we believe that the Word of God always has to be the foundation for whatever it is that you're seeking to do, who you are. The Word of God has the answers. You never have to wonder, well, what do I do if I'm single? What do I do if I'm this? What do I do if I'm that? We believe that the Word of God is the source of all the answers that we need for our lives. So everything we say tonight is going to be straight out of the Word of God and just some truths that we have discovered being single, saved, and truly satisfied with Christ. We're going to talk first about being alone but not lonely. We are, when you're single, you know, people may assume that you're dealing with loneliness and going through things, but the spirit of loneliness does not have to overtake or overcome you just because you are single. We know that the Word tells us that God said He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. We all know this promise is found in the Word of God, but do we really trust that? Do we believe when it says He will never leave you nor forsake you? Do you believe that when you are maybe in a room by yourself, maybe experiencing some separation from others, from physical companionship and people being around you? Do you believe that He's there just because the manifestation of a person or people are not around you? Do you really trust and believe that? So one key thing in being satisfied as a saved single is really, really trusting the Lord and trusting Him beyond saying it, because we get so into saying things, saying the right answers. We have the right answers, and my father says it often. You can pass a test, but do you really know what it is, the knowledge, the information, that where you're filling in the bubbles and you have the right answer? Do you really apply that? Are you really able to perform what you have just answered? And one of the things in our culture and our society is that we have the right answers, no problem. But when it comes to application and it comes to practical living, that's where we're missing, and that's what really matters. So we put so much emphasis on the right answer and not enough emphasis on living that out and applying that and applying the Word of God. So do we really trust the basic promise of God that He won't leave and that He will not forsake you?
And that is very powerful, just as a single person, understanding that you, no matter how society depicts singleness and says that singleness has to be this sad and depressed state, one of the important things that I have found in my singleness, and I love my singleness, not saying that I don't want to one day be married, but I enjoy the place that I'm in because I understand that everything in life has a season. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us about the seasons in life. There's a season for everything. There is a season in your life that you have to grow in God by yourself. You don't want to be a burden to someone's life. You don't want to not mature enough in your singleness and in your relationship with God and your walk with Christ without maximizing that moment and that time. So that's very important, and it's extremely vital that we recognize the season that we are in and maximize each season. We want to make sure that we do exactly what God desires for us to do in each season of our lives, whether we're single and as we move into other phases of our lives, that we are in that place.
Also, in line with being alone but not lonely, one important thing about this whole situation is perspective. How are you looking at it? The way to stay encouraged when you are alone and not to be lonely is your perspective and how you're looking at it. How do you see it? If you're sitting around always thinking about, well, I don't have anybody, I don't have this, I'm always down and looking at the negative side of things, the perspective that you have is going to really play out in how you live out a successful and a victorious walk as a single. You have to be careful what images you are looking at, what you're taking in through all of your gates, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, who's speaking into your life, what are you getting your perspective from, what are you drawing your vantage point from, what are you basing how you feel about your situation, what are you basing that on, what are you basing your perspective on?
Yes, and I often say that half of life is perspective. If you are always looking at one thing, a negative thing, you have to make sure that your perspective is what God wants it to be. One of the things that is very vital also in understanding that being alone does not mean loneliness. It doesn't mean what we normally assume as loneliness, is that it's a time of discipleship. It's a time of growth and development. And if you are truly building a relationship with God, you can't be lonely. You can't be in a state of sadness. If God is complete joy and complete happiness, complete peace, and he brings that into our lives, we can't find ourselves in a state of depression or a state of loneliness because we don't have a mate in the physical. And that, as my sister said, when you are building that relationship with God and building relationships with other people, you have to surround yourself with people who are like-minded. If you're always with people who, you know, are either lonely and depressed or always hopping from relationship to relationship and trying to find fulfillment in something that is not God or that God has not ordained, you cannot find what God wants you to find in your singleness. You will be lonely. You will be sad. You will be depressed. You will not find peace, which is what God wants us to find in him. You can't find fulfillment in other relationships before finding that fulfillment in God. And that alone will keep you from feeling those feelings of loneliness. If you know God is complete fulfillment, God is complete wholeness, in him I am made whole. In him I am the woman or the man of God that he has called me to be. In him I have fullness and completion. And that is what we have to get before we move on to these other phases that we are so excited to jump into.
that's so good. And I love that we're doing this together. And you said earlier how you always, you know, you love your singleness and all this. And you say that all the time. And I am getting to, you know, I love that. And I have had to obviously walk through a different kind of testimony where I haven't always loved my singleness. But what I love about God is that when you get the perspective that he wants you to have, you can really, really begin to appreciate it. And so I want to encourage that sister or that single person who is, you know, experiencing a time where it's like, well, no, I don't really love my singleness. Where you can really get to the place where you can embrace it. That can happen because I really wasn't at a place for a long time where I could really embrace it and appreciate it and celebrate it. But as you mentioned, that Ecclesiastes 3 passage where it talks about seasons and times, when as you grow and as you learn, you begin to understand that there is a season and there is a time and there is a purpose. I'm going to touch about a little bit right here and then get right back to where we are. But I was in a relationship years ago, and I thought that, you know, I should marry this person and all that. And had I done that, I would have been so far out of the will of God for my life, but I could not at that time with the perspective that I had, which was tainted by not necessarily worldliness, but it was not the word of God that was influencing me. It was I was looking at my age, and I was looking at other people and all these other things, but my perspective was definitely not coming from the word of God when I felt like I had to have something right then. That is not the word of God, which takes me down to my next point because I was getting anxious and experienced some bouts with mild depression and other unhealthy emotions. And anytime something is making you feel that way, that is not of God, and that is not from the word of God. If it's leading you to depression or leading you to anxiety or other unhealthy emotions, that's not the word of God. So we're alone, but we're not lonely, but the enemy is known. We know that he is known for his scare tactics. He is always doing whatever he can to make us fearful, to make us afraid, or to put us in an unhealthy place emotionally. So we have to be so careful not to feed those emotions by giving it attention and definitely not by agreeing with it. We cannot give the enemy even a foothold to think that he is convincing us of his foolishness. No, I'm single. I am alone, but I am definitely not lonely. I have Christ. I have my brothers and sisters in Christ. I have my church family. I have others who are there to support me. And I know sometimes if you're in a new walk with Christ, you may not be able to have the same associations that you have once had, but you have to be comforted and you have to be assured that the Spirit of Christ within you is enough, and he'll start adding those other things, as one of our verses that we mentioned earlier indicates. He'll start adding those things appropriate. He knows what you need, when you need it, and when you cannot be without it, and he will not leave you without something that you need. Did you have anything to say on that one? Okay. All right. Well, we'll go on down to the next point here is with comparison. So we're alone, but we're not lonely, but everybody is getting engaged, getting married, having children, whatever those milestones are that would come in that sequence. Don't compare yourself to other people. Because that's going to go right back to what we just said, feeding negatively those emotions and things that the enemy is trying to do. Don't compare yourself. Be happy for other people. Learn how to celebrate people genuinely. Again, I'm able to say this because of a change perspective, because I didn't always have this positive view, and not that I didn't want to celebrate people, because I'm a celebratory person. I love people. I love to be happy for people. But I really have had to grow, because the enemy was trying to trick me. I'm not ashamed or afraid to say that that is something that the enemy tried to use against me, because one thing is for sure, we have to fight. This is single, faith, and satisfied is not status quo. It's not average. It's not ordinary. It's extraordinary. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It goes above and beyond. It's not just you single, saved, and obviously satisfied. No, you have to work to hold on to your satisfaction. It's a work, and it's joy in it. It's peace in it. It's love in it. But you have to get there. And we are warriors for Christ. We have to fight to maintain what God is giving us, and to be blessed in our singleness.
It's interesting. We have a lot of our views and our perspectives are really the same in a lot of ways, but our testimonies and the way we have gotten to these perspectives are different, which is good because you're able to see and hear different things. But I really am a firm believer in that that excitement and genuineness, and I want to share this one passage that deals with that. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We have to embrace, of course, a godly lifestyle, but also understand to embrace the place where we are, because if we believe that God is all-wise and he's all-knowing and he has our lives in his hand and he controls our lives and he has the ability to place us exactly where we need to be at the exact time, he knows exactly where we are, exactly what we're going through, we have to have a perspective of contentment in that place, a perspective of embracing where God has us, receiving what he has us to receive in that season. And I love that passage, 1 Timothy 6:6, because it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. There is no way that you can be in your singleness and receive what God has for you and not come out on top and not receive the reward. So important that you always want to plan for the future, and you always want to have these plans. You're planning the wedding to a person that you may not even know yet, and all of these things, but we have to be content with where we are right now. What are you excited about today? What has God done for you today that excites your life? God has done so many things, and he's opening so many doors in our midst right now, but we're so concerned about 5 years from now. I'm so concerned about, oh, Lord, I wonder if this person is going to make this move, or I'm wondering if this is going to happen, or if this will materialize so that I can be in this place. But God is doing things right now that perhaps will position you more powerfully to even receive what he's going to do next. But we get so caught up, and it's really a societal thing, which is why the church is not the world. That's why we are not, we're called to be salt and light in the world. We are called to be that standout factor, and a lot of times that's not what we do. So, standout factor, I like that a lot. That's really good. And these are growing points, things that you mature into, you develop into, you grow into, you work hard on, you pray, you fast, you get in the Word of God, you arrange your life to where it accommodates what the Word is calling you to. You don't just haphazardly fall into this type of victory. It's not a coincidence. It doesn't just happen. This is intentional. It's purposeful. It's planned. It's targeted prayers. It's focused. It's concentrated. And as we do our part and show God that faithfulness and that level of commitment, then we will really, really see Him shaping things and forming things and developing us in ways that we didn't even know we needed to be developed. Because had I gotten married 5 years ago, no telling what kind of travesty or dramatic situation. And I'm laughing, but I'm serious. I'm so serious. It would not have. I just know now, in my maturity and where I am, that it wouldn't have been good. I don't even think it would have been safe for a sustained period of time. Just to be completely honest, and we're getting ready to move on to the next topic, but I wanted the last thing to say about being alone and not lonely. Self-awareness is so important, and it is something that is going down in this culture, in this society. People are not really self-aware. They're aware of an image that they want to portray from media, from, you know, even church standards for the religious. I mean, it could be anything that we're not really self-aware. And I think that a lot of people are not content just being alone or being by themselves. They don't know how to appreciate themselves as people. And I can testify a little bit here, too, because I didn't take time to really discover myself. But I didn't take it seriously to discover who I really was at certain points. What do I really like? And can I value time spent by myself? And yes, I can. And now I really know I'm aware of myself. I'm aware of the things that I like. I'm aware of the things that I dislike. And sometimes people just go through life with assumptions or with habits and with patterns that they haven't really dug into. And self-awareness is something that really is important, and that as singles, we need to become self-aware. Don't try to get in a beat with someone and you're not really aware of yourself, because people have been in marriages, been in relationships, been in situations, gotten down the road. I don't like that. I never did like that, but I liked it because he liked it. I did it because they did it. I did it because it seemed right at that time. Even in school, when you're just going with the flow and doing what everyone else is doing because you want to fit in, because you're in these organizations, because of this, because of that, because of the other, and you find out on the flip side that wasn't even really a true interest, but we haven't taken time to discover ourselves and be really, really self-aware. So we're going to move on to the next topic, which is just flowing in the same vein of singleness, being single, saved, and satisfied. And this is really a hot topic, I think, right now or at any time. Godliness versus going to church. Going to church versus godliness. There is a misconception out here that if you go to church, you are automatically in a relationship with God, you are automatically godly, and you just have adopted godly character because you went into the church. I want to put it out there tonight that is a lie. That is not true. You have to develop a relationship with God. Godly character is very important for singles. It's very important for everybody, but it's particularly since tonight we're addressing singles, is particularly important for singles because godly character is what you develop in spending that time with God. And it's so important that we separate ourselves from, even if it's past behaviors or things that we've adopted as patterns, as lifestyles, as ways of life, we have to separate ourselves from those things. And earlier, I referenced Matthew 5, give that reference so that you all, if you're taking notes or if you're just taking mental notes, that you can keep this in your head. But one of the things that I love about talking, as I talk about godliness versus going to church, is that when you become godly and when you adopt godly character, people are able to see that character exuded in your life. So as you go out, as people may approach you, even if it's for a relationship or for whatever reason, people are able to see your lifestyle. So Matthew 5, verses 13 and 14 say, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." It cannot be hid. That salt, that flavor, that excitement and zeal and passion that you gain and are exuding from your life cannot be hid. Just going to church does not give you that. I'm sure that everyone on this call has seen someone or been someone who has gone to church, got heard a word, shouted, sang, maybe spoken some tongues, done all sorts of things in church, walked out of church, and done all sorts of other things that have nothing to do with being salt and light in a city in this world. And one of the things, especially talking about singleness, why this is so important is because we all, when people write out these lists about who they're trying to attract or what type of person that they want and all of those things, one of the first things on most people's lists that are on this phone is probably a man of God or a woman of God, whichever is appropriate for you. It's that thing. But if you are not a man of God, if you are not a woman of God, you are not going to attract the quality of person that you say that you want and that you say that you desire. And you know what? Sometimes our season of singleness has to be extended because you haven't taken the time to become that person, to become that man of God or that woman of God. And going to church doesn't give you that. Going to church does not produce. It is an assistance to build character in you, but it requires more. It requires time outside of the sanctuary. It requires prayer. It requires fasting. It requires reading the word for yourself, not just somebody preaching to you or teaching to you. It requires you to work. And that is what confuses me sometimes about people wanting to be in these relationships. You're not even working on your relationship with the Lord, and you want to work on a relationship with this person that may not even know the Lord themselves. And if they're attracted to you at that point in your life, they probably don't. Probably not. Amen. That was some really good, really, really good information. I wanted to say these few things, and I thought about this topic earlier, and it was funny. I laughed. It's so funny. Just what you started with, saying that it's just a lie that if you go to church, you are godly. You know, mommy's always saying, you know, people are in the church, but the church is not in them.
Yes,
and what does that really mean? I have five differences that I see or that I define between godliness versus going to church. And I'm going to go through this just rather quickly and just these are differences that I see. The godly are Christ-centered, Christ-focused, Christ-motivated, and Christ-captivated. If you're just churchy and churched, you are self-centered, attention-focused, people-motivated, and title-captivated. So you're about yourself, you're about getting attention, you're motivated by people,
and you're captivated by a title or a position or something that would impress others. And that comes from, you know, this churchy and religious type spirit, but it's all supposed to be centered around Christ, all supposed to be focused on him, all supposed to be motivated by him. If your motivation is not Christ, you're off. So I'm gonna repeat that. The godly, they are Christ-centered, Christ-focused, Christ-motivated, and Christ-captivated. And the church, or the churchy, or the religious, or, you know, that group, they're self-centered, they're attention-focused, people-motivated, and title-captivated. It's all about the appearance. It's all about themselves. It's all about something that's outside of Christ. And that, as a single person, is just going to get us off course because there are so many distractions. And if you're going to be single, saved, and satisfied, you have to learn how to deal with a distraction. That is going to have to be your way out. It's going to get you through tough nights. It's going to get you through tough days. It's going to get you through seasons. It's going to get you through to the next level. You have to learn how to deal with distractions, and you have to know when something is a distraction. If it's keeping you from Jesus being the center, it's a distraction. It may not come and say, as a matter of fact, it's not going to come and say, I'm a distraction. But you have to know when something is a distraction. And to simplify that for you, my brother, my sister, if it's not centered around Christ, and he's not the motivation for it, and he's not the focus of it, and he's not the one captivating you, that is a distraction. And if it's something that you feel like could be good, you just got to get right in your heart, get down in prayer and in fasting to establish the kind of focus and concentration on it that needs to be there. Can't be inordinate, can't be out of place, can't be missed, because if you have the right stuff and it's in the wrong place, it's still not doing you any good. I'm going to keep going down this list. The godly, they hear the word for how they can change themselves, and they respond accordingly. If you're just churchy or churched, you're going to listen, and you're going to respond based on what you know applies to your neighbor. You know, we have neighbors in our churches, and whoever is beside us or around us, or whoever can hear us hollering, amen, yes, preach, that's who we're responding for. We're not even taking, people aren't even taking the word in, but if you're godly, you're taking it for yourself. I'm hearing the word. I'm in a relationship myself, so I'm not worried about how you're going to respond to it. I'm worried about myself. Getting down to more targeted things for single women or single men or just singles who are saved, the single godly woman is going to dress modestly, and this is just some practical stuff. You're dressing modestly, and you want to be noticed and appreciated for your godliness. It gets so tempting to flaunt certain things and to do certain things, but you can't present yourself like that. That's not how you want to be known. If you're just going to church and you're a single woman, oh, it's all about how appealing you can be, who you can appeal to men's senses, and how impressive you can be on the outside. And people often, or people get the misconception that because you're not wearing it that you can't wear it. We all have breasts we can wear hanging out. We all have legs that we can wear mini skirts on. I mean, it's not just certain people. It's not just certain body types. It's not just the people that are doing it. Everybody can do it. And so let's just be real and let's be honest. We could all do it. But there is a standard for the single, saved, satisfied woman. Yes, there is just a standard, and we live by standards. That's what makes us satisfied, because if you're going around here and you let your standards go and you compromise and you wearing any old kind of thing, at some point, either the single is going, the saved is going, or the satisfied is going, and the single is probably going to stay. So the saved or the satisfied, one of those, something is going to be compromised along the way. So if you're not satisfied with Jesus, that saved is going. So we just got to stay, keep it all in perspective, stay balanced. The godly single woman rests in the promises of God. The church single woman, I'm in church and I'm churchy and I know how to do that, but I can't find rest. I'm anxious. Singleness is not acceptable to me. I'm not satisfied. I'm not going to rest. I'm not able to rest because that's my focus. That's my driving factor. I don't have what I want. I got to get it. I got to make it happen. I'm running to and fro, trying to do all this stuff. I'm trying to develop something. I'm trying to get blood out of a term. I'm trying to get stuff that's not there because I can't rest. Because even though I'm in the church, I'm not godly. I'm not able to rest in God's promises. And rest is in Christ. If you are truly in him, you got to get to a place where you can rest on those promises. And that is critical. That's another critical component is rest. As a single, you should be able to rest. You shouldn't be uneasy. You shouldn't be anxious. You shouldn't be in despair. You shouldn't be losing sleep. You should not be confused. You should not be happy. I mean, not to the point where you're not able to rest in the confidence of God. And when you get in those struggles and in those battles to the point where you can't get back to a place, not saying that you won't have those thoughts, but remember, we're not feeding those. You got to be able to get back to a place of rest in the promises of God. And then the last major difference that I wanted to talk about between the godly versus those that just go to church, the single woman is determined that for God she will live and for God she will die, while that churched woman or that woman that just goes to church or man is unstable and weighs the options based on logic and reason, no matter what the will of God is. I'm determined that for God I'm going to live and I'm going to die. But if I'm just going to church and that I'm not really getting root in the word of God, in my relationship, as we continue to say, then, I mean, if you come along and you might be attractive or there may be something drawing me to you, then I may weigh those options based on, well, I'm getting older, I have to start a family, you have finances, you're able to provide these things, you have a position in the church. Every preacher cannot be your husband. Every person with a position in the church is not your husband. So calm down. Get focused on Christ and just relax, rest, and don't weigh your options to the will of God. If it is either the will or it's not the will, do not try to weigh those out or balance. Just choose the will of God. Don't try to see what advantage another option out that you know is outside of the will of God. Don't even weigh it. Don't even put it on the scale. If it's against the will of God, just go with the will of God. Don't try to rationalize. Don't try to reason. Just go with the will of God. Because I'm telling you, if you try to put up on that weight, now the will of God is stronger. But if you've already given the enemy that place to where you're going to start comparing and going back and forth between the will of God and that other thing, he's got too much. He's got too much play there, too much room, there. We can't do that. We can't do that. All right. Okay. All right. And then, this is funny, waiting and not wasting away. What are you doing? Are you waiting on the Lord and staying active and staying busy, or are you wasting away? Now, waiting, when we wait on the Lord, he has not, let's just be clear, he has not called you to waste away. That's not your calling. It's not what you need. You need to be busy. You need to, and my sister said it a few minutes ago, and my mom, I grew up hearing this, and I've referred to her several times, because she can teach some women how to conduct themselves. But one thing she used to say, or she says about women, she said, now that same thing she's looking for, he's looking for. So that man that you want, and he's well-groomed, and he looks nice, and he owns property, and he has a good job, and he's educated, and he reads, and he loves the Lord, and he pays his tithes, and he takes care of his family, and he's going to be a great provider. That brother is looking for somebody that is his equal. Now, we can dance around it, we can play, we can pretend, but that man is looking for somebody who has something to offer to him. And if he's all of that, you need to be, you need to be, And it's not all about those things, but whatever you're looking for, that he's looking for the same thing. So if you're not looking for somebody, or she, I'm sorry. And I mean, I don't want to make it seem like it's all about one type of person, because everybody's not looking for the same thing. But if you're looking for somebody that is not well-groomed or does not have a job, then maybe he's looking for that as well. But I want us to raise the bar to where we are looking for, you know, something great. And it doesn't have to be all the same thing, but there should be, you should have something that matters to you. And that person that has those things, he's looking for somebody that has those things. Your first love and your future husband, this is something that I really want to talk about. You're already married. You already have a companion in Christ. You're not just single to the point where you have nobody to fix yourself up for, no one to care for. We should be in an intimate relationship with the Lord. He should be, he's in the place of a spouse. We are serving him. We're loving him. We're devoted to him. We're faithful to him. We show him commitment. We show him honor. We live for him. He takes care of us. He provides for us. We are in that type of relationship. So in the meantime, while we're waiting on a natural spouse, we're not getting all crusty and rusty, because he's not called us to that. I'm already married to a king, and he deserves the best out of me if I, one, don't desire a spouse on the earth, or two, don't get one. I'm married to a king. I'm already royalty. I'm already taken care of. I'm already provided for. He's given me the companionship that I need if I tap into it and embrace it. So it's okay. I'm taking care of myself. I am, you know, I'm keeping myself up. I'm not, definitely not wasting away. You can't expect that after marriage you're going to have more time in a day to live your dreams. No, from now, from the time you were born to the time that you die, there are 24 hours in a day. That's not going to change at any point. We have to seize the moment. We have to do what we can with the time that we have. We have to redeem the time, the Bible says, because the days are evil. So right now, don't just wait until you have more obligations and more responsibility, because the only thing that a mate is going to change is that now your time and attention is going to be divided in doing your dreams and fulfilling what God is giving you, and then supporting fully and wholeheartedly the dreams and the plans and the desires of another. So you're not going to have more time to do what you want to do after you get married, after you have children, after, you know, whatever the next thing that you're waiting. More time is not coming. You have to be a better manager of your time and have to do feel what you have to do. So let's just think about those things. Wanting, waiting does something to your character that only waiting can do. I think that waiting does something to the inside of us, and I don't know that God would choose any other thing to do it through. I don't know what he could use. He could use anything, but I think this is a particular process that does things in our character that that need to be done for those who are really seeking the Lord, who really want to do his will for them in the earth. Those things are like a spirit of patience, a spirit of wisdom, learning how to discern. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, even humility.
Attitude adjustment, just things that, you know, you adjust your attitude if you, you know, have to go through certain experiences. Your attitude will adjust, and you may not have even realized. It will take that time. You know, you have to go through some attitudinal adjustments and changes until you get satisfied. And people say it, and I believe that it's true. You'll keep getting that same test until you pass it. And sometimes when things come back my way, I can look back on a time when I would have handled it differently. Mm-hmm. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Finally, I've had that test. Praise the Lord. And sometimes God is so good, he'll send it back, because you might have passed that one just you snuck up and passed it. But he'll send that same test back to make sure you got it. Not just did it because, you know, of other circumstances, but he'll send it back just to be sure that you got it. I'm a spirit of thankfulness. gratefulness and appreciation. Like I just referred to a few minutes ago, I'm so grateful that that I'm single compared to having been married outside of the will of God. I am so grateful. I thank God for something. Now I thank him for something that at one point I cried about and I was upset about and I couldn't live with and I couldn't tolerate. And I was upset and I was frustrated and I was discouraged and I was disappointed and I was jealous and I was hateful. And that same thing that brought me all those emotions, right now I give God the highest praise.
Hallelujah.
I give him the highest praise.
Hallelujah.
Today, looking back, all I can say is thank you because he was looking after me. When I was stupid, had I had my way and he had given me what I asked him for, I don't even talk about what that foolishness would have been. I can't even fathom. And then thankfulness and appreciation, not only for here and now, but I believe that because it is my desire to be married. Every single person, that's not their desire, and that's beautiful. It's my desire, and one day I know that these times of waiting will foster thankfulness and appreciation on days when, you know, it may not be easy. It won't be easy always as you know, a spouse, but waiting gets your full attention. Waiting gets your full attention. If you are open to God and you yield yourself to him and you give him the attention that he's trying to get from you, he will show you things that will blow your mind and like only waiting will do. Because sometimes when we have everything that we want, he doesn't have our full attention.
No.
And he'll have to snatch something away, pull something back, reveal something else, limit you in a certain way so he can get, he's a jealous God. And he's not going to divide his attention from you with anything else, with lesser things. He's not going to do it. And he shouldn't have to do it. We shouldn't ask him to do it. We shouldn't make him do it. And anybody with any tendency of jealousy, that's definitely not good in relationships. But if you have to be delivered from that or if that's something that you deal with as a natural inclination, you have to really, you can understand God. You don't want to love somebody with everything that you have and they're dividing and splitting attention with you and somebody else. And then wasting away will do the following. If you just let yourself waste away and you don't focus on giving God the best waiting position and waiting attitude that you can, it's going to decrease your potential of attracting anybody that God would want to put in your life. It decreases your potential of attracting the right person or being in the right relationship. Your standards are lower. You're not doing what you need to do. It weakens your potential for the future. It discourages you. If you just waste away and you're limiting yourself and you're not putting forth the effort that you could be putting forth, you get discouraged. And see, it's the tricks of the enemy are a cycle. If he gets you at one place, he'll keep you going around and he'll just keep defeating you in that same circle. And wasting away instead of waiting with a positive attitude and a good spirit and a sweet spirit and with a smile on your face and coming from the inside, it's going to shut down the supernatural flow of power in your life. When we do things the way God intends for them to be done, a supernatural flow comes to our lives. When you do something in the wrong way, or in the wrong place, it's almost pointless. Pay attention to your who, what, when, where, how, and why. Are you waiting in the right way? Are you even in the right place? Are you attending to the right? Are you around the right people? Who are you in this period? So deal with those things and wait on God and be of good courage. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not. That is Isaiah 40, 31. And we know Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And one more on waiting is Lamentation 3:25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So that just goes back and gives a summation of all of those other scriptures we had shared earlier. He's good to the soul that seeks him. So in our singleness and salvation and being satisfied, we are seeking him consistently within everything that we do.
That is just so powerful. I mean, that is just really powerful. And I just have a few more things to share on the waiting and not wasting away. I have a favorite scripture that I always go to when I talk about singleness and when I talk about contentment and singleness and that whole component of not wasting away. That scripture is 1 Corinthians 7. And I suggest to everybody, read the whole chapter, but the specific verses that I love and I always pull out are verses 32 through 35. It talks about in your singleness, there are things that you're supposed to do. I want every single on this line to think about the last time in your singleness that you have given time to the church. They didn't ask you to do it. They didn't demand you to do it. Just time that you've given to the church, time that you've given to going and doing a call, going to the nursing home, visiting someone, getting outside of yourself, going outside of your comfort zone to do something. Your singleness allows you a state of freedom that marriage does not allow you. That passage talks about how a single person, and I'll just read this part. It says that if you are unmarried, you care for the things that belong to the Lord, how you may please the Lord. Your whole life is about pleasing the Lord. How can I find more ways to please God? How can I do more in my household? How can I do more for my parents? How can I do more for my siblings? How can I do more in my church? How can I do more to show my appreciation for what God has already blessed me with? And when you are married, it says you care for the things of the world, how you may please your wife, how you may please your husband, how we can make our household work together. And as we are single, because we don't have the additional, as my sister shared earlier, we don't have the additional concern about I have to bring money here, I have to do these things, I have to commit time to this, I have to call and get permission, or not necessarily permission, but I have to clear this before I go and pursue what God has given me to do. When God gives you something and you're single, you're able to pray about that vision and to walk in it and to just go forth in it. And I think we don't value what we have in singleness because we don't understand it. We don't value what God has already given us as a single person. And you waste so much time. This whole part is about not wasting away. You waste so much time because you're focused on what you don't have right now that you're neglecting what God has already given. He has given you a treasure. This is Paul talking in this passage, and he's saying, I wish that everybody could be single. I wish that everybody would be single so that we could all just give our whole lives and our entire being to doing this. He's saying, if y'all could withstand, I wish you would withstand so that we could all just live this life, this grand life that I'm living. But most singles do not view it as a grand life. We don't view it as something that is positive and is even thriving. And I also want to share along the same vein of not wasting away and all of those things. It's so important to seek God in your singleness and in life in general, but so important because so many things can come your way and they can look enticing. As we said, we've been in relationships. We've had, you know, opportunities to go further in relationships, but you have to seek God because everything, as some people say, I don't know if it's the world or who says it, the old folks or whoever, everything that glitters is not gold. Everything that looks good and looks enticing is not gold. And you will get into that place and be looking crazy because you settled for something that God never ordained for your life. In that, we want to maximize and emphasize, rather, the importance of wise counsel. In Proverbs, three times, you can just write these down because I won't read them specifically. I'll read just one, but you can just know that it appears three times, so I'll give you the specific verses for all three. But it appears three times and talking about the importance of a multitude of counselors, a multitude of sound counselors, not just somebody that's going to tickle your fancy or make you feel good, but someone that knows and understands where you are, where that place is. So Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If you try to go about your single life and your existence alone, not seeking counsel from your pastors, not seeking counsel from your leaders, your parents even, you cannot find success in that, because you are going to, this proverb says, you're going to fall. Something is going to come up that's going to cause you to go into a place that you shouldn't go. Recorded in Proverbs 11:14, Proverbs 15:22, and Proverbs 24:6. And they're all very similar verses that talk about the importance of a multitude of counselors, people who have wisdom in this area. If your pastor is married, they have been single. Anybody that has been married has been single at some point in their lives. If you have questions about singleness, or if you're struggling, should I date this guy? Should I date this girl? Should I ask for further, to pursue something further? There's a friendship that has come about in my life. Should I pursue this? And one thing that I will say, and this is me, and I bless God for giving me the insight and the wisdom, everything that I do, I always bring it to my parents, who happen to also be my pastors. I bring it to them because I have realized through experience and trial and error that when I didn't do that first, I always have to go back and do it anyway. You always need counsel. So I'll give a testimony. It's a recent one. I was met a new person, and I didn't know, like, where things should go or where things would go. And the immediate thing that I did, I went and I talked to my parents, because to me it's important to get an understanding, because all I see is great things. I see wonderful things. I see things that are powerful. I see things that are, but they're not trying to take this person. So they will be able to see what I cannot see. They can see beyond the handsome face. They can see beyond the activeness in church. And just counsel is important. Also, when you pursue a relationship, and as you get married, submissiveness is important. Submission is important. But before that, submitting to your leaders, your pastor. Do you just do what you want to do at church? Don't pay your tithes when you want to. Go to church only when you want to. At home, if you live at home, as I do, when they ask you something, your parents ask you to do something, and you just decide not to do it, you are building the way you're acting now toward leadership is the way you will act to leadership. And why would God allow you to get in another relationship and you're not even respecting and coming into submission in the relationship that you're in now, where there is a leadership role and where there is authority? And so I think it's just important for us to focus on what God has us, where God has us, the season in which he has us, and remember that everything in this season is preparatory for the next season. It all matters. Every day of your existence matters toward the goal that God is taking you to. So you have to see today, how did I build? How did I become a better woman? How did I become a better man in this current place? And how does God want to use that in where he's taking me, not just in relationships, but in every aspect of my life? Each day should be a building. You're building every day. And I think that that's so important. And you cannot waste away. You can't afford to waste away. God has so much in store for each of us, and we've got to wait patiently and maximize this time.
Awesome. That's really good. Powerful. Well, Pastor Shantae, we're going to turn it back over to you. I know you have some good word for us to close us out. Thank you so much again for this opportunity. We have enjoyed sharing. We love the Lord. We're trying to do it God's way. We are single. We're saved, and we are satisfied. All right, Pastor Shante is experiencing a little technical difficulty. Let's see. Just hang on the line. We're going to open up for questions and talking a little bit here to end the call. Let's see. Hold on. Give us just a moment. Don't hang up. Stay on the line. We're going to come back right back for questions and answers.
Oh, no. Did I write, oh, no? Where was
Okay, so we're going to talk briefly here about Ruth. And we all know the story of Ruth. And some of the things that we've said tonight can come right in alignment with Ruth's story. Because we know Ruth was purposeful. She was purposeful. One of my favorite verses, can we pull that up?
Yes.
Is in Ruth 2, and it says, I quote, I don't know the whole verse, but one thing that she says is, I shall find grace. She had a purpose. Are you walking in intention? Are you walking in purpose? Are you intentional and focused about the possibilities of what can happen? That is Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. I don't care how desperate the situation has been. You know, these women were in a desperate situation, and they didn't have all the things that they wanted to have or the most pleasant situation. But this woman of God said, and she was a Moabitess, so this wasn't her. She was in a foreign land. She was in a different kind of place. She was in a different context and situation. But what she said was, I shall find grace. She got to work, and she said, I'll find grace. You got to over your life, over your day, say what it's going to be. I shall find grace. So she went out first with that purpose and with that intention. So we often talk about the Boaz and Ruth story. It didn't just happen. She was intentional. I shall find grace. And she went. She was a hard worker. We have a lot of people that don't want to work. They don't want to work hard. They don't want to be faithful. They don't want to commit. They're too good for certain things. She was going out originally. She was picking up the leftovers, but she was such a hard worker. She was noticed for her hard work. It stood out, and that got her to the next level. You got to be sacrificing. You got to be doing what you have to do to get to that next level. Go if you have to go behind the reapers and gather what is left, do that. Just do something. Do something with intentionality and something purposefully so that you can find grace. You got to go looking for this thing. You got to do what you have to do. And then we know that she was just in a context where she was walking in obedience. Don't think that you're going to reap, or don't think that these good things are going to happen without that purpose, without you walking in purpose, without you saying what it's going to be. So I dare you right now to just say, I shall find grace. I shall find grace. I'm not, you know, and then as singles and as saved singles these days, you know, we know what statistics would say, especially for women, but for men as well, if you're looking for somebody of quality, you know, it's just not an abundance of it, but God has that person in line for you. Your paths are going to cross if that's your desire and if it's his will for you. You don't have to worry. I shall find grace. And it could be, we're talking about singleness tonight and salvation and our satisfaction in that, but it could be anything. On your job, I shall find grace. In your school, I shall find grace. In your finances, I shall find grace. You need a mortgage, I shall find grace. You need acceptance for a loan, I shall find grace. We have to start with, you have intention and you have purpose, I shall find grace. And that's what I'm holding on to tonight. I shall find grace. And we are excited about it, the grace that we're going to find. And this woman of God, she found grace with Boaz, and we know the story. You have anything on that?
Yeah, she found grace because she was doing what she was supposed to do at that time. And that's essentially, as my sister said, that is what it's all about, doing what you're supposed to do at that time, not waiting to do it. Because if she had waited, she would have missed the opportunity that he would see her, that grace would be found in his sight at that time. So we have to do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it, because you never know when God has an open door. You never know when God has this explosive blessing for you. But you know what? That's a good thing that you don't know when. It's a good thing not to know when, because you have to know how to act in the meantime. And I love what you just said. And we're waiting for Pastor Shantae to come back from her technical difficulties. We want everybody to stay on the line because we still have a few moments for questions and answers. As Anthony was talking, it just came to me that some of us just need to repent for all the opportunities that we did just miss, because we were not walking in obedience. Because we weren't walking in obedience, because we didn't make those sacrifices. This Moabitess, she left out of obedience, out of a feeling to be drawn closer to the point where she said, your God will be my God. And she went in that sacrifice, in that obedience. And some of us need to repent because we're where we are because we haven't sacrificed anything, we haven't obeyed, and we missed those opportunities to find that grace. But we are still claiming that we shall find grace. And Ruth just points back to so many of the things that we did talk about tonight, even being self-aware. She discovered when she made that declaration, your people will be my people, where you go, I'm going. She discovered that was who she was, defined. Sometimes discovery comes with actually defining. I'm discovering because I'm defining who I am. I'm going to discover who I am sometimes through me saying this is who I am. She made the declaration and she defined herself. She said, I'm going where you go. Where you die, I'm going to die. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. She defined herself, and in that she discovered purpose. She discovered everything she needed to know about what she was supposed to do, about her plans for life. And it was just what God intended for that time and for her. And we thank God. Pastor Shantae?
Amen. Amen. Can you all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, praise God. Yeah, I thank God for everything that has been said. And I will not give any place to that slew-footed one. But I thank God for such a powerful teaching on tonight. I tell you, God is awesome and he is good. I just appreciate the word of the Lord that has come forth on tonight. I wanted to reiterate some things before we begin to open up the lines here. We do have plenty of time for questions and comments. And what we're going to do a little bit differently tonight is I'm going to say, when I unmute your line, I will say your area code and the first three numbers of your phone number to give you an opportunity to speak. And if you don't say anything, then I will mute you and go on to our next caller. Just to make sure that we are fair to those who are on the line who may have a comment or question. But I wanted to reiterate a couple things as we begin to close out. You touched on some things here. You began to talk about the time management piece. And I think that is important. As you said so very plainly, is that you don't just need to be able to manage your time, but you're going to have to better manage your time
And I can tell you as a married person, your single life is busy, but your married life does not slow down. There is a misconception of, I've heard it said before, even when I was a single person, you know, oh, well, once you get married, you're not going to have time to, or you're going to be doing less. That is just simply not true. You're actually, because you're having two visions that are coming together, it's actually going to be, it's actually a synergy of mission and purpose coming together, which in turn you will strengthen each other, but don't think that you're going to slow down in terms of what you'll be doing. Sometimes people think, well, I don't want to get married because if I get married, then I won't be able to do certain things in terms of ministry and goals. But that, again, comes into play to where if God is partnering you with that person, he's partnering you. Marriage is not just he's cute and she's cute and let's get together because we're cute and we make cute babies, okay? Marriage is a ministry. It is the ministry of mirroring Christ to the world. The Holy Spirit just gave me that.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Marriage is the ministry of mirroring Christ to the world. Somebody tweet that or Facebook it. Marriage is the ministry of mirroring Christ to the world. We have a broken world because a lot of us have broken the mirror. Okay? A lot of us have not done what the picture of marriage is supposed to do. It's supposed to represent Christ and the church. You also talked about relationship idols and how, I know especially as women, we can get into the notion of chasing Boaz rather than chasing God. If you look at the book of Ruth, I study the book of Ruth every year, okay? I've been studying the book of Ruth since 1995 every year, and every year I study the book of Ruth, I get something new and revelatory out of it single time I read, okay? It's a book full of revelation, especially for women, on how to conduct yourself in a godly relationship with your God, with those that are around you that you're supposed to serve, and with the person that you will come into contact with, okay? And so there's the book of Ruth is chock full of godly principles. Boaz noticed Ruth's character. If you go back and read it, he doesn't mention not one time how fine Ruth is. And we know Ruth was fine because her name actually means beautiful and lovely. But he doesn't mention that. He mentions her character. He mentions the name that Ruth has in the community. He mentions what he has heard about her. And so my question is, what does your name say? What is attached to your name in the community? Are you known as the one who serves? Are you known as the one who prays? Are you known as the one who gets the prayer through? Are you known as the woman who is in her word? Or are you known as the messy person, the gossiper, the slanderer, you know, the person who can't be happy for anyone else, the person who's, you know, sat in the middle of church mess or church drama? What is attached to your name as a woman of God? And then you talked about waiting. You talked about waiting in the right way, waiting in the right place, doing the work while you wait. Those are three qualities that Ruth had. Ruth was willing to leave the Babylonian systems that she had been accustomed to, the worldliness, where had she gone back, she would have been guaranteed a husband. Hear me. She would have been guaranteed a husband in her pagan culture. Not a problem at all. But she chose to go with a woman, a widow who was grieving, okay, who had lost everything. She had lost her husband. She had lost her son. And she had no property that she could fully claim according to the Jewish law. So that would be God, young lady. Only God would tell you to leave what seemingly is a more lucrative pathway back into her pagan life to go to a place with somebody who is barren, grieving, broken, has no future livelihood to speak of. Only God could tell you to do that. And let me just say, you better know it's God if God tells you to do that. So waiting in the right way. She was waiting in the right place. She took care of Naomi. She fed Naomi. She fixed a dinner plate for Naomi. That's Ruth chapter 3. She worked for Naomi. She said, give me permission to go out in the field that I may work for us. Now, it's a lot of people that are just working for themselves, but it's a greater dimension of your character when you can not only work for yourself, but you can work for someone else. You also talked about the parents, okay? I will say this, even if your parents are not saved, most parents who have raised you, they know you, okay? And a lot of them know what's not going to work. So I totally agree with, you know, bringing that person that may have an interest in you in front of the family, in front of people who know you, who know your disposition, who know your attitude. My mother, she could tell me every time I would bring a guy home, she would tell me it's not going to work, number one. Number two, she could actually tell me how they were going to dump me and how long the relationship was going to last. Why? Because she knew me, okay? So don't discount your parents' wisdom. Even with the parents you may not necessarily see eye to eye with, they raised you, they know you, they know your disposition, and they know your character, okay? What else did I want to talk about? Even in the terms of on the manhood side, we know that Proverbs 18:22 talks about he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor for the Lord. But also with men, there is a responsibility to pursue and not stalk. There is a difference. I'm going to let you study that out as if you're a man on the line. But there is a difference between pursuing a relationship and not stalking. As a single man, and hopefully this month we'll be able to get some single men on the line to talk about being single and safe and satisfied from a male perspective, there's got to be a desire in you to find what God is pointing out. Because the scripture says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Well, he's finding, and God is revealing. God didn't just say, okay, Adam, you go out into this garden and you figure out who your mate is going to be. No. God put Adam to sleep. He pulled a rib out of Adam and created Eve. In other words, Eve did not come out of the ground. He didn't pull Eve out of an animal. He pulled Eve out of Adam. So even in her makeup, she's going to have the characteristics that represent you because she's bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. So if you are, you know, coming into contact with women who are single, saved, and satisfied, you should be able to see within her some characteristics that reflect who you are, that are a complement to who you are. So I just wanted to share that. And then one last thing, you talked about that self-awareness, being able to know yourself. And as one gentleman put it recently that I heard in an interview, he said that you have to grow, you're actually growing into knowing yourself because in marriage, you're going to grow into one with another person. And so he said it's important to make sure you are one deep with God before you get in too deep. And I thought that was a very good analogy that, you know, you want to make sure your relationship with God is built on a solid foundation, your communion with God, your intimacy with God, so that as you are desiring or you become too deep with that other person, you're not pulling on them for your communion with God. You're not pulling on them for your intimacy with God. In other words, they don't become your God. They don't become your high priest. They don't become your mediator between you and Christ because you are solidifying that intimate place and that intimate relationship with God. So I just wanted to reiterate those things. Ladies, did you have something else before we open up the lines here?
Oh, that's powerful, Pastor Shante. I love how you've elaborated on Ruth.
Amen. We are ready, and we are going to start with a caller from the 770-324. You are on the air. Do you have any questions or comments? 770-324. All right, we are moving on. Caller 850-688, you are on the air. Do you have any questions or comments? All right, we are moving on. Caller 919-337, you are on the air. Questions or comments? You are unmuted. All right, we're moving on. We are going to caller 850-545. You are on the air. 850-545. Questions or comments? All right. We are going to 919-817. Questions or comments for us tonight?
Hello. My name is Christian.
Hello.
Reeves, and I just want to say how much of a blessing this ministry really, really is as a Christian brother to hear what women of God are really looking for in a man, and then to also be strengthened with some of the things that you've offered for men of God, those of us who are single. I'm telling you, this is just a real blessing, just a great blessing. It's been a great strengthener for me tonight. So God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. We appreciate. Amen. All right, we're going to caller 954-880. You're on the air.
Good evening. It was such a privilege to join in and chime in. Just being saved, single, and satisfied with God. Especially from a man's point of view, I think so many times we get caught up in doing the pursuing instead of letting the Lord lead us to whom to pursue. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, It's the point where, you know, the Bible says that it's the pride of life and the lust of the eye. And so, you know, we tend not to be so mindful to guard our eye gates because we're looking at stuff. We're seeing women every day, and it's catching our attention, but we have to be reminded that, you know, our prime objective in life is to first seek God, and all these things will be added unto us. And that thing that he's going to add will be that woman of God, or that wife that he's made for us and knows has fashioned for us in the time that he appointed to us. And so I think that it's very important that we remember that we are, our first goal is to be content with doing the work of the kingdom and knowing that God has a plan, and that plan doesn't include us to be married. It doesn't include us to have a family, because that's what God's original plan was. Even with Adam and Eve, he opened mm-hmm. communication. He longed for family. So I think that we have to be mindful of that when it comes to just, as you said, for he that findeth the wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. You have to be first content with God and let God lead and direct you to that person you're supposed to be with. I really, really, really enjoyed the part that I came on in of how you know, you mentioned that about just for us to really remind ourselves, not only for women, but for us young men in Christ, to be really content with God. He is all we need. And when that time comes, he will allow us to find that mate. He'll say, that's the one. And just like you were saying before with your parents, of how we are to take the wise counsel, it was sort of confirmation in my life personally, just recently with what God had just revealed to me in a dream. and just to see how God would allow someone to pick it up in the spirit and just confirm exactly what my mom had said. So I was like, wow, you know, God, you're amazing.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for you. Thank you, sir, so much for sharing your insight and your input tonight. I believe that was very powerful, what he said, from a man's point of view. And that's why I said we definitely want to have another segment this month where we are talking with the males who are sharing from the perspective of being saved, satisfied, and single. You said from a man's point of view to let God lead you as to who you are to pursue. And I think that is so powerful, even in terms of what we see happening in our culture, in the fact that men especially are being bombarded, their eye gates, their ear gates are being bombarded. And like you said, you're seeing women daily, day in, day out, some fully clothed, some not fully clothed. And because men are visual creatures, it does affect, you know, your eye gates. And so that is a powerful word to men about guarding your eye gates. I know there's one gentleman, he shared with me a term I thought was kind of funny, but he said it's something that he has to do, that when he is addressing women and they may be scantily clad, you know, not maybe intending to draw his eyes in, but he says he has to bounce his eyes to, as he's talking to them, he's bouncing his eyes to other things that allow him to not look at the areas of their body that may be exposed. And I think that is a thing about the purity of the heart and the desire that even if you are approached by a young woman or a young man who's immodestly dressed, that you care so much about not only their purity but your own purity, that you're saying, listen, I'm willing to do what it takes to guard my own eye gates, even if that person that I'm approaching is not necessarily helping me in that area. He's taking on the responsibility to say, look, I want to keep my eyes pure. I want to keep my thoughts pure. So I'm going to bounce my eyes. I may look over your head. You know, I may have to look somewhere else, but that's a part of what he does to ensure that he's not giving his eyes over to something that is going to, you know, cause him to stumble in the future. So I just thought that was a very honorable thing that he did. At this time, we're going to turn it back over to Amberlee and Antonice, who, if you have any closing comments, ladies, if you would share those with us, and as well as a closing prayer. We are located on Facebook. The Let's Talk About It group is open. It also has our past teachings and recordings in that group. And if you would like to give to this ministry, you can give through PayPal at Janet Clary Ministries at gmail.com. That's Janet Clary, C-L-A-R-Y, Ministries at gmail.com. And I thank her so much for this opportunity to co-host this show that she founded, and it has been a blessing and a wonderful opportunity. So, ladies, we're going to turn it back over to you for any closing comments and our closing prayer.
Yes, Pastor Shante, we just are so grateful, and we really bless God for you and for this opportunity to share. And we just want to encourage, in our closing, we just want to encourage everyone to pursue the will of God for your life. Get into the Word if you haven't been. Seek God truly in your singleness. And I guarantee you, just based on the promises of God, that as you transition into other phases of your life, when you have been faithful in this, God will reward you, and you will be so happy that you made the sacrifices to do what you needed to do in this season. So pursue God and allow him to connect you with the person that he has for your life. Be blessed and be encouraged to do the will of the Lord. Dear God, we want to thank you tonight for the opportunity to share your word and to share your truth. We know your word is truth, and the entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple. God, we ask that you would use the words that were shared tonight to encourage, to uplift, to reprove, to convict, to correct. God, to just uplift our brothers and our sisters who are walking this path of singleness, salvation, and satisfaction. We ask that you continue to strengthen us in our most holy faith and to build us up. God, that you encourage us in our weight. God, that you would allow us to mount up on wings as an eagle. God, allow us to run and not be weary, to walk and not to faint. God, we know that you go before us and you are our strength. You're our strength like no other, and your strength reaches to us. Whatever our status is, whatever our situation is, God, we ask that you meet every need on this line tonight, God, across these phone ways, God. We ask that you bless, that you heal, that you deliver, that you set free, that you make whole, that you provide, that you open doors, that you make ways, because that's the God that you are. We love you tonight. We appreciate you. Keep us. Send peace to our homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Thank you so much
Amen.
For the opportunity.
Amen. Amen. We thank each and every one of you for joining us on this line tonight. Again, Let's Talk About It is a talk show designed to equip, educate, empower people from all walks of life with the message of the kingdom of God, and in particular, relationships. We will be back on same place, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will have Apostle Janet Clary will be on as she continues this series on singlehood, love, and relationships next week. Thank you all so much again for joining us, and we pray the blessing of the Lord be with you as you continue out this week. Amen.